IVM.
Stories, we've got stories. They're a little bit of funny and a little bit of dissimilar. You want to hear them? It's got humans. They're sitting in a box and talking old Edwards out loud.
Nobody talks about how shitty cat smell is. Like, the pee smell essentially.
All of it, dude. It smells and it lingers and this pee though just stays. You can't get it off only.
The cat smell? The cat pee smell.
If they pee on furniture and shit, it's very different.
Yeah, so we had to like basically like this one bean bag I had, which has done like two houses, car rounds and come back to me only. And it was a nice bean bag, decent, like for 5 years it's been around.
Yeah.
But then like out of vengeance, they would just pee on the bag if you were not home for one day or whatever, went out for a trip. Like they would make a nice little pool in the middle.
Yeah.
And then one by one take a piss fucking. Like, you know how they say the cum biscuit thing in the Merchant Navy thing? This was their version of that.
You can pick up the beanbag and kind of balance it around.
It's spooky nights up in this bitch. Yeah. And then so like basically we just like cleaned all of it out, like used all the tissues we had in the house.
Yeah.
Wet wipes used kia, sanitizer used kia, odorizer used kia, and this thing didn't go away. So then we put it out of the house. Yeah. Like, okay, one day we'll take it out for the main trash and throw it out. My neighbor is like, aapko chahiye? I'm like, nahi chahiye, isme baas aa raha hai billi ka.
Arre, you should have like I'm gonna sell it to you. I'm gonna sell you a bean bag.
I would not do that. I would not want that smell to go to his house also.
Then
next thing you know, my cats have made his house is their house. And so now, like, they kept it in the sun for like a week, and I've gone and done an entire fucking shoot of 20 days and come back, and the bag is still outside my door only. I'm like, bro, what the fuck? So I'm pretty sure that he took it inside. His wife was like, no, get it the fuck out, and it's been just there. So then I finally trashed it, and wherever I trashed it from, they also took it. Somebody took it.
Okay, good now. So somebody got it.
Bean bags never get trashed. I noticed that one thing. Have you ever seen a bean bag in trash? No.
No.
Somebody always finds it, takes it, and repurposes it.
Because there are so many purposes to a bean bag.
Yeah.
You can do a lot of things if you're creative enough.
Namely?
Namely, you can, you know, in that Star Wars scene where he cuts the thing and lives inside it because it's cold.
Yeah, the banter.
Yeah, boom.
Yeah, yeah.
Bean bag has
a
zipper.
It's not a banter.
What was it called? Wait.
It's that
those llama things.
Bill Hader makes the noise.
On Hoth, right? So now this has a zipper, you can get into that. Or if it's a beanbag, like, you know, you can make it a tent. You know what I mean? Just add some scaffolding on the inside.
This Malay game is very strong on this chai. I don't know. I didn't want to cut in with that, but it is pretty strong.
But hey, if you're still listening, welcome to Vartha
Lab. Welcome to Vartha
Lab,
guys.
Yeah, that's Naveen. I'm Akash. And you should, at some point.
That is Shantanu.
Yeah, I know, but you should introduce the guest sometimes.
I do it all the time.
No, you don't.
I know he doesn't. Go back on the record.
I'll just do it myself. Like, hi, I'm Shantanu.
Do it. Please. Save me from this.
I'm introducing myself.
Good job. Thank you.
Amazing hosts.
Shantanu is a visual artist.
Done
crazy amount of work.
Yeah.
If you've heard and seen his work, not heard it because it's not auditory, but visually you've seen he's been the designer behind Gully Gang, about Divine's
NFT drops,
all of that. It's been crazy. We'll talk about all of that. But before that, you have a cat. We have to talk about
it. Your
life and everything, okay, great for you, good for you. But you have a cat called Clara.
Yes.
And tell us about what kind of cat is she?
She takes angry shits. That's what I've learned so far.
You know, when she's petrified and scared, she shits and pisses herself, or if we are away for too long, then she'll shit around the house, and then you come in and you see like nice little droplets of poop around.
Yeah, you can't be mad at cat shit though.
Why?
I mean, they're cute. They're small and they're not like very
but they're rancid.
Threatening like dog or human shit. But like,
if they stain, they leave a nasty stain and they smell and they. I don't know, man. Fecal matter of all forms, I feel, it should not be on my couch or my dining table.
Of course not.
A general thing that I live by.
Unless you're into it.
You now
like
venture into this whole married life, you know that, right? Yeah. Like, wherein.
And what? That doesn't involve fecal matter.
A baby comes in. Babies are fecal matter in fucking human form,
okay,
dude.
Okay, I'm
sorry.
You are going very ahead.
I'm not. Shantanu, can back me up on this.
And I'm all good with the shit talk. Like, please go ahead. I'm all down.
Pillow talk is something else, but shit talk is something else.
I'm just saying. ki poop, yes, babies will, if I ever, when I get a baby in my life, the baby will poop and I will clean the poop of the baby. But I don't want to, and I will, I'm sure, listen, I've had very old grandparents living in my house. I am not, you know.
Yeah, those are not even turds.
Dude, yeah. I've
grandparents cleaned, are not, I'm saying.
I've cleaned shit off of bathroom walls and all, you know what I mean? Like, so I've slipped in, and so I'm not worried about that. I'm just saying that cat poop has like a rancidness to it, which... my nephew's poop, for example, has not exhibited so far. Maybe it's just evolutionary, where I'm like
enough,
evolutionary programmed to have less trouble with my baby's shit.
Yeah,
as opposed to somebody else.
For me, my cat is my baby, right?
So yeah,
like,
yeah.
In many ways, like
I guess it's your baby. It's your thing. Your thing is shitting, so you are okay with it.
It's also a fun challenge.
Even when I had cats, and when the like Mangesh and Siddhish,
those cats were like crazy.
But they used to diarrhea all the time, dude. For some reason,
There was no like. I realized that like I used to take care of them sometimes, and no matter how much clean litter you put, like they would just make it a swamp.
Yeah, like it would just diarrhea all the time. And that bean bag, the brown bean bag, we also had to throw away. That was the OG bean bag that got thrown away.
I mean, you get a brown bean bag, you get brown shit on it. Like,
no,
I
but the shit was also not brown. Yeah. Okay, listen, let's not get too visual. Some of our listeners have very vivid imaginations. Hey, you have worked with everybody. Like, we were looking at who all you have worked with, and it's literally Government of India se leke Zoya Akhtar hai.
No, Zoya Akhtar, I haven't worked yet.
Oh, Gully Gang was Zoya Akhtar, right?
No, that was
gang,
a movie.
Oh, my bad.
Remember that t-shirt I wear sometimes with the divine thing?
Yeah. So, but then we worked with, okay, that's even more of a gap if you ask me. So if you worked with Gully Gang and the government, you know what I mean?
Like, you circumvented the upper middle class.
Yeah, kind of. But I mean, yeah, there's like a whole bunch of people, and it's quite exciting to work with all different people from different backgrounds. And there's nothing much different. Like, to be honest, I get to draw dicks everywhere around, so I'm kind of happy with that. And they let me do whatever I want to do. So
is that
I'm
your Banksy moment? Like, there are dicks hiding in my art if you look closely.
Exactly. One morning you wake up, you buy a painting for me, and then suddenly you see a dick looking back at you. I'm like, awesome day, right?
Nice, yeah. A dick looking back at you is always a nice thing. Yeah.
But it's attached
to a man also. Who wants that part?
I completely relate, though. I am very in love with dick jokes. A lot of my stand-up career has been focused around trying to get dick jokes. Like, you know what I mean?
Sick.
I love a good dick joke. There's a joy to a great dick joke.
Exactly. Like, everyone's talking about the pussy power and this, that. Nobody talks about how great dicks are. Like, dick jokes. It's a good start.
It's a murky territory we're entering right now. Yeah. No, everybody shows their dick to everybody in this country at this point because of
unnecessarily.
But... to appreciate a girthy dick or a small dick or a normal dick also. Yeah. Like, I remember I was in Kolkata recently and I hooked up with this guy and he made it very comfortable for me to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, he got lunch.
Did and he get Chinese food?
He got Tibetan food. I told him my cuisine type is mostly momo, tukpa, that kind of domain, you know? Like the spicy potatoes.
Spicy potatoes.
Like, euphemism dance. They have this little like yellow mustardy potato, which is like great. It's pickled and it's beautiful. Tibetan people, like, so much good food came out of so much adversity, right? I put too much emphasis on the spicy potatoes. Now it's like, I can't go beyond.
The little potatoes, really.
Yeah, and it's also risky to have spicy potatoes on your fingers when you're naked. I realize that now in hindsight.
But
the fact was, like, you know, we were just there. You know, it was not like, are you constantly erect or no for this purpose or whatever. It was not that. So I think dicks in all forms should be appreciated.
That's
more
fair
than anything else.
In each state of its cycle.
Yeah.
Yes. From
I've said my piece.
To like, did you always draw dicks, or was it something you came across as life?
I mean, that's
you're like Jonah Hill from Superbad. Sitting on the ground.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my dick hit her. I remember that whole tiffin box he had where he used to keep all his sketches of all the dicks.
Yeah,
those
were
some of the like the most inspiring dick drawings I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's really like, and they actually hired an artist to just do that for Jonah Hill.
Of course,
there was a hand model who was drawing the penises when you cut to the hand part. Growing penises, yeah.
Nice, nice. Yeah. No, it just came into I'm really into a lot of satirical stuff. I love South Park and other stuff. And for me, art is somewhat like that. Like it's more of like a statement.
Provocative.
Yeah. It's lingering there. It has a lot of subliminal messages and stuff like that. So I figured we all use like phrases like eat a dick. So basically, if you're if I'm making art, I'm trying to say that just go ahead and eat a dick.
Mm.
So I just got into it like the fun of it because I was doing a lot of graffiti and vandalism back in the day. So I used to go out with a spray can or maybe a few markers and draw stuff around. Fastest thing to draw and the easiest thing to draw is a dick.
Mm.
Like everyone can understand what a dick looks like.
Yeah.
So, like, even in house parties and all, I used to go look my friends' places or the people that I usually don't like, and if they throw a dick of a party, I'd go draw dicks in places which they can't figure out. And imagine if you're sitting in your toilet, you woke up, you're hungover, and then you look straight and you see a giant dick on the wall. So I used to do those kind of stuff back in the day.
Yeah.
Especially if you pass out, then you're dead.
Should draw a dick on your face also, no?
I've drawn I've fitted around 7-8 dicks in one guy's mouth or face. So I guess there
in his
you
mouth?
Go.
No, that sounds wrong.
On the lips. Including kind of permeates on the lips and stuff like that. So I've done that quite a few times.
Yeah.
Boys love that shit, I've realized.
I went to the Baroda with Dhaval once. We drove.
Hmm.
And we went for an egg festival, like an avant-garde egg festival. It was phenomenal, right?
Okay.
Like it was art plus eggs, plus Shashwat Bulus was doing some music and I was doing some comedy and we were doing a together thing.
Hmm.
You know? It was great. But the guy we were staying with, Kaizad, shout out to Kaizad, good person, but drew dick on me when I fell asleep early. And I should have known when we played so much COD together that eventually if one of us passed out, they would have a dick on them. And it fascinated me. I never wanted to draw a dick on someone. I used to get very terrified at the prospect of having a dick on my face.
Because you were a victim.
Yeah.
No, fair, yeah. But even if you are the one drawing the dick, like, you know what I mean? Like, I've never drawn anything on somebody while they're asleep.
Yeah.
Never.
Only when awake.
What did you draw?
Like, I was more like, are ops and bats khela hai kya tum log?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so we used to do a lot of the ops and bats. And then you beat somebody and then you draw it on their hand and be like, bitch, keep this on your hand or I'll beat you again.
Even if you don't have jolly, then you have to do the hand thing and hit them.
I feel like when the person is awake, I can be a bully to them. But
were you a bully?
No. I was quite the lame kid.
We had gone to this mission camp, but with the church. A mission camp is essentially areas where they look for people to convert.
Just
to give it a context. I'm just kidding. But look, that's essentially it. Like there's a priest over there who's been working with like the Adivasis in Gujarat area for like years.
Yeah.
So like
this is in Saputara.
Yeah.
How did I know?
Because you're Gujarati.
Boom. No, I went to Saputara once and this was a thing.
Yeah. Correct. And and they basically like give education and housing to the kids during the school years. And they get all of that from the nuns and the priests and everything.
Yeah.
So it's like a give and take essentially. We spoke about rice bag in the last episode.
Yeah.
But to give you more context as to why people take rice, they get education also with it, apparently. So we had gone there and so the problem was we had gone for Diwali vacations where the kids are not even there. So we're not interacting with any of the kids unless we go to the village.
Yeah.
So we're staying at the school where the kids stay. And this is like in the middle of jungle, nothing, okay? So all of that is happening. Ghost stories are happening. Some of us have got firecrackers, which we're letting loose like horizontally and all that.
Yeah.
All that shit is happening. At night, like that's the plan. Like some of us have gotten markers and toothpaste and extra just to fuck with people when they sleep. And everybody's sleeping in sleeping bags only, essentially.
Yeah.
So like this couple of guys were like main targets because like, you know, they always are. There's one person in your group and our group was Steven.
Okay.
And Steven knows this. Shout out to Steven. Steven was a victim of everything that usually happened with us. And that was like, this is bad luck because he would fall asleep so fast. If you're gone on a camp time, like people are going to be like a little crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so like they put like toothpaste on this hand and then this hand. Okay. And just left him alone.
Yeah.
And then overnight he was only like, अपने सर पे और सब पहुंच दिया ओके एंड देन दे हैव डन डिक्स अराउंड हिज चिन एंड ऑल ऑफ दैट
ओके नाइस
And then like around like 1:32, I also slept, okay? But like I'm not a sound sleeper. So whenever they would creep towards me,
yeah,
I would just sit up, okay? Like Undertaker, and they all, whenever they would fall down. And this happened 2-3 times, they never got me. One more kid called Mark who had come with us, he also got fucking fucked, okay? And so then like at 4 a.m., I go to pee, and this is like very dark, okay? Very like the bathrooms are scary,
yeah,
isolated, like from the main area, you have to walk a little bit. And I'm like quietly take a candle and peeing, and I look behind, and this fucking guy is like, "You did this!" And Steven is behind me with his hair coated in fucking blue toothpaste. And I'm like, "No, bro, I just woke up to pee. What the fuck?"
Yeah, yeah, good then, save.
Yeah,
yeah. But then I was not responsible for it. I was genuinely not.
Yeah, oh.
It's all the other kids.
It's like, why are you hitting yourself? Like, yeah, remember that whole thing? Like, why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so that was like
once we
up.
Had tried a prank. There was a guy called, I think, Monique. Yeah, Monique. We were on our way to camp, and we were, you know, you go through the tunnels, man, and the tunnels are a time to wreak havoc in the bus.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, because it's dark in the tunnel.
You can and do
the,
anything,
dude. You can slap like indiscriminately.
I got slapped like that.
Yeah, you can slap the teacher, man.
During a power cut. Yeah. So that's not cool. Don't do
see,
it.
See.
It's horrifying.
Oh, I have a great bus story.
Says the dick drawer.
I mean, it's
dick drawer sounds like you open a dick drawer. And they're like, "Aaj kaun sa pehnu main? Ye kala, ye peela, ye neela."
Oh, like, fabric softener laga hai isse.
Oh shit! Yeah. I know there's one daddy in Bangalore who has like a drawer like that, just like dildos of different sizes.
Nice. Yeah.
Like, what shape are we feeling today? How how much can we open up?
Wow.
About our feelings.
So sometimes
I say the darndest things on the show.
So Monique came, and in one of the tunnels, he tried to slap the fuck out of this kid called Sid, okay? Like, man, jor sa aisa, usko Goku bolte the. Siddharth. Acha, dhadak karke maar. Aur he, acha, full force of whatever an eighth grader or whatever can pull off, you know what I mean? Full fatak karke mara, aur fir bhaag gaya piche. Tunnel nikla, turns out Kajal miss ko maara hai usne.
Oh, damn.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's bad.
That's what I would have done, actually.
And like, Kajal miss is like, she can't believe it, right? Like, in the sense, like, what the fuck just happened?
What's the age over here?
This is 8th standard, 9th standard, maybe, like 13, 14.
When you're getting the muscles to, like, hit
And so, the teachers were all like, "Guys, like, who did this?" And I was like, we don't know. And Kajal miss was like, "Listen, somebody's..." To have to say that on a bus. Yeah, I know somebody slapped me. Who the fuck slapped me? Okay, and nobody would say no.
How can she slap?
And finally, about 1 hour in, Monique's conscience couldn't take it. You know? So he went up the bus and he cried. And he said, "Ma'am, I'm so sorry I slapped you."
Oh, damn.
And she was like, "It's okay that you slapped me."
Oh, it's
then,
okay.
Because like, it happened. It's okay.
No, it happened. Okay. Normal people don't slap people.
You,
like
you wanted to slap someone else. You know, clearly.
But that's also wrong.
Yeah,
it's
also
really
wrong. You know, but now you're crying like a kid and it's the beginning of the trip. So she was just like, it's
too,
okay.
It's too
but
funny.
Dude, it was so funny. Just the look on her face.
Oh,
it was quite fun.
Like, I didn't slap anyone, but I did something, like I did accidentally hit someone, like someone else.
There's no
like
accidentally hitting somebody.
I mean, it was not an accident, I did it purposely. So
it doesn't take too much to unravel him.
Hey, give water, no. I have been gesturing very convenient, like smoothly and all.
So what happened is, like we used to play this game where we'll fill up, like you have those plastic bottles, like the middle water bottles or not.
Mm.
We'll fill it up with sand and we'll kick it around like football.
Oh, yeah.
So like I had stayed over for some like theater practice and all. So it was dark.
Mm.
And there was this one asshole teacher who used to be the bus in charge or something. You have to make lines before getting on the buses and all. We really hated him. So, but then I was going to hit someone else because that guy was being an asshole to me. And when we're playing, so probably pushed me or some stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I ended up kicking that whole plastic bottle filled with sand like really hard. And it went and hit that teacher on his head.
Ooh,
and he had a proper
Tom and Jerry
ball moment on his head. Like boom.
No.
That was really bad. I'm so sorry if you're listening, if you are.
So, listening. A little bit of grounding is required for teachers.
But as bachpan mein to hota hi hai yaar, kisi na kisi. Like, you don't know how mechanics of things, right? Like, when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Like, me and my cousin, Asim, who you met at the wedding, I must have given him stitches at least twice.
Oh.
Like, and never like on purpose.
He says he's not a bully.
Like, no, but never on purpose, right? Like, when, once we were playing, you know, Ganpati ke time pe pehle, arrows abhi bhi milta rahega. Wo arrows milta hai aisa, wo bow and all. So we were just like shooting those at each other, obviously missing entirely. And the stick doesn't fly or whatever the hell. And then eventually we were like, okay, let's just throw the bows at each other. Because, and see if they make
it's
it,
like
you know.
The Hawkeye and boss movie. And,
so, you know? Yeah, they stole it from my childhood. and I threw it at, and his he threw his at me first because I was the elder brother, right? So he hit me and I was fine. So I was like, okay, I guess now I can do the same to you, you know. But 2 years makes a lot of difference when you're like 8 and 10. So I threw it at him and it cut his brow and all, dude.
Oh,
and he got stitches.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, fun fact about my cousin: once he got lost and we couldn't find him all day, and then we found out he went to sleep in the garden.
Oh shit.
It's like a hangover.
That actually happened to like an uncle of mine. Like when one aunt, you know, who lives in the area, came home crying one day saying her husband's not home. And we're like, what happened? And he works in the hospitality industry. So like he catches the last train back home and all of that. So he's not come home. Next morning he's not come home. Afternoon he's not come home. Next evening he comes home.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, where the fuck were you? He's like, I went to sleep in the train, and the train went to Virar in a shed.
Yeah.
And I was just sleeping there the entire day. And he had worked so much that he was just tired.
Yeah.
And he slept in the shed. And just like, then he was like, oh fuck, what do I do? Took a train back from Virar.
Oh, damn.
Came back.
So that happened to me once in Gujarat, where I fell asleep at the station for like, I had a 6 hour gap. And I was just, I don't have the energy for this. So I just fell asleep at the station. And then I got up and I got back.
Never happened to me.
I'm never happened?
Like, nope, never.
Did you travel much around when you were like, if you grew up in Guwahati, there must be so many places to go to.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we used to go.
It's like 2 hours from Shillong also.
Yeah, that's where I mostly went. I usually drive to Shillong and all. Like, that's what we used to do. Like, even like when I was like in the late teenage, we used to get drunk and drive all the way to Shillong. And I'm not recommending that at all.
You go to Shillong and get drunk.
Yeah.
But we were more like, three a.m. in the morning, you're sloshed doing shots. Let's go to Shillong, bro. The weather is nice. So we'll just drive
there.
It's true though. Assam ki comparison mein Shillong is better.
Weather-wise. So it was kind of irresponsible on our end, but
YOLO, man.
Yeah.
I mean, like you
don't YOLO. Don't drink and drive.
Don't drink and drive at all. Like so many times, I've got nearly killed because of that. So I don't do that anymore. I'm much more constrained now. But my brother actually got in trouble. Like, he did the same thing. They learned from the older ones,
the OGs,
right?
Yeah.
So he did the same thing and he crashed my dad's car. It fell off the cliff.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Was your brother in the car with the cliff?
They were all together. The car just went down the cliff. Because if you know, Shillong's like a proper hill station. So while driving there,
you can't even have like big cars over there.
Yeah, exactly. And so actually they went a step further. They're like, we'll go to the Bangladesh border. Like, like screw Shillong. Like, we'll go even drive for...
Let's see the weather in East Bengal.
And they went all the way there. And they crashed near an army camp, a CRPF camp over there.
Lovely.
And they went all the way in. And nobody was hurt. Like, everyone was just crashless. But the car got really totaled. We had to, like, to a point that we had to sell it off.
Yeah.
Like, it was beyond repair. And I'm like, how did you guys even survive?
Yeah.
And like all of them were like grounded for like quite some time and no driving, nothing like that. And I was furious. And but I'm like, okay, I think I would have been there.
It's one of those, like, you know, if you watch a Lifetime movie, this is one of those things where like the main character doesn't drive because in the beginning of the story they totaled the car and their friends died, and then the end of the movie they have to drive a car again, and they will they be able to will they be able to achieve their love, all
it's
of that.
It's really sad. Like, so I have seen some of my friends actually like suffer from it. So it's really not a good thing to do. If you really care for your life, don't do this at all.
Yeah, I think, but then the problem with being drunk is just that there's no faculties that tell you no. And then if you have a group of friends who are also alcoholic, it's just like the worst combo ever.
Yeah, no, it's really bad. Like, it's really, moderation is the key.
It becomes like a behavioral pattern, right? Like, you want to get drunk, then you're drunk for longer, then time that you would have spent sober doing other things, you're doing the same things but drunk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like why play board games sober when you can play them drunk?
Drunk, yeah.
And then it doesn't help. And then the worst part is then you're like, okay, how about things that we would never do drunk? Now that we're drunk all the time, we might as well do it.
Yeah. I'm genetically not an alcoholic, so that's a good thing for me.
Yeah.
Like, when I was younger, like we'd go to all these family parties and my mama's and my father's uncle, my father's family not so much, my mom's friends or whatever. My mom's brothers would like fucking be like one whiskey, two whiskey, next. Like they're down 10 pegs and they're fine. My father's like also trying to match up with them.
And
next day, he would do like 6 or 7, I would see. Okay, and the next day he's just like, exploding in the bathroom, okay? Like my mom was like, you can't go in the bedroom in this area.
Yeah.
With your sound, no fucking noise, nothing, can't even turn the mixer on in the kitchen.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's the level of fucking, like he's bad, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah,
oh man, but my mom's side also a lot of alcoholism. So always been a very touchy thing. Like when I got, now that I'm back at my parents' house for a bit, like, and I have booze in the house. And like for the wedding, I got gifted a lot of bottles of whiskey and this and that. Mm. And my mom is just freaking out, dude. Like my mom sat me down. She's like, listen, now you're getting married. So you better not drink all of these at once. And I was like, what made you think I would drink them all at
make
once?
Make like fucking Powerpuff Girl.
Yeah, exactly. Chemical X.
Chemical X out of alcohol. Awesome. Chalo, let's take a small break.
Let's
at this
take
point,
a small break.
We'll come back. We'll be sober. And so will you be.
What?
So will you. When we come back, we'll be sober.
Yeah,
we're sober
of course.
Now also.
Yeah, but like in the matter of saying that we won't drink in the middle of the break.
Oh, like that. We'll still be sober.
So they're already drunk.
No, we're not drunk.
I'm disappointed.
I want to get drunk though.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
See you. Hey, welcome back, second half. We were talking about all kinds of things, but mainly very dark things. And now I think we should talk about less dark things.
Light things.
Yeah, like art. You know, only yesterday we were discussing, like, we had such a long Van Gogh conversation on the Sacred Bird episode. Do you like any of these classical painters? Do you like any painters in general?
There's this artist, his name is Francis Bacon. So I'm all about Francis Bacon. I love his stuff. So, and I really love his work. So most of my stuff is kind of inspired from his stuff, mixed with a little bit of H.R. Geiger.
The classic. He's an alien designer.
Designer.
The designs on which the alien monster was based, he went on to do his own designs.
So
I love that guy.
Yeah, the Geiger paintings are insane, and he was doing stuff way before there was like digital art and stuff like that. He was doing a lot of erotic, mechanical nightmare paintings, which are like.
He also do a version of Blade Runner 2014, Blade Runner, but like didn't use his versions or something like that. I remember reading about this. It's either Blade Runner or Star Wars, where his concepts were asked for but not utilized.
There's a similar story about this guy. It's another like director whose work I really like. His name is Alejandro Jodorowsky. So most of this artist that I actually like were kind of casted in his movie, like H.R. Exactly. Geiger was one of the evil guys. Then even Dali was there.
That movie never got
exactly. So most of the other movies like Star Wars and all, they took all of his concepts.
Lucas stole from everywhere, from Kurosawa's design, from the Seven Samurais, and like from Geiger, from like other like Dune, of course, like the entire Dune Sea, the whole concept of the sand monster, everything just like straight up copy.
If you read Dune or if you've seen the movie, it's like it's so much similar. It's like exactly the same thing.
The forced language also.
Exactly.
But sometimes good art is aggregation.
Right? Yeah,
like it's like using all the best solutions already around. Yeah. And putting
as
them
Lucas himself said, it's poetry. It rhymes.
I really think that like you can't create something new entirely without actually being influenced by anyone else. It happens with art all the time.
How you
create art is through your senses, right?
Yeah.
And there's so many of us. There's like billions of people doing doing this, that, whatnot, and they've already done it. Like, how do you stand out?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a difficult question, an age-old question, like how you are unique. Are you copying? Are you inspired of this and that, whatnot?
Yeah.
People get away saying that, okay, I'm inspired of this. But what I feel like is the skills. how you're incorporating some other inspirations with the amount of skills that you have.
Absolutely. Like, I think
the skills should be the one which is defining, not the inspiration point. Mm. Like, that's what I really believe in when it comes to stuff like this.
Yeah. But I feel like whenever I make a new friend, or if I'm on a long drive with a friend, or if, you know, sometimes you're just like chilling with a friend and you're giving them all the stuff that you love, like from the course of your life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this was the song I used to love in 8th standard. This is the videos that I used to watch when YouTube happened. Yeah. All of that jazz. And sitting, like, I suddenly take a step back and I'm like, fuck, if anybody saw all of these things together, they would get, like, where everything I make comes from. Whether it's my podcast or my music or my stand-up or whatever. Like, it's all, the blueprint is all there. You know what I mean? Mm. And that you're just like the crystal focusing all the random light into like one beam.
True.
That's really the contribution, right? And each crystal is unique in that sense. That's what it is. It's not all of those things. It's all of those things, but interpreted at this point in time by this person in this world. Like, the context is what you bring to it.
Yeah. So you're like a catalyst or a conduit.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Essentially. Yeah. Like, so many artists, their purpose was just to like exist so others could be better after you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then your contribution has just been that, like, somebody somewhere will say, yo, this person inspired me because of which I have got all this fame.
Yeah.
It always happens, right? So many times. Absolutely. It's like, it's and it's sad, but also it's important.
No, but I think it's not sad, because it's like the human race is like this one big collective thing, right? Like, and it grows, it's like an amoeba growing in different directions.
Exactly.
So like scientists, like some scientists just collected data their entire life.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody else made the discovery based on the data, but the data was just as important.
Exactly, you just keep on tweaking.
Yeah.
So then, like, how did you move to Bombay first and then meet all the cool people in all the time that you had over here? Like, I've been in Bombay my entire life. I met Divine once.
Yeah.
So I feel
I guess I was always at the right place at the right time. Like, I've always been into music.
Mm.
But unfortunately, like, I can't play any instrument or sing.
Mm.
So, like, as a kid, I would be like, okay, I want to be in a band. Then I'll be famous and I'll get all the chicks and all stuff like that.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, my brother turned out to be a good musician and I had to, like, find other stuff.
Did he want to become the artist? The brother?
No, he always wanted to be a musician.
Is he in a band right now?
No, he's not. He's actually a guitarist.
Oh.
He just finished his master's in music. He's in Australia right now.
Oh, wow.
So he's like a proper practitioner of music.
Right.
Like, he has finished his whole, like, grades, classical, everything.
Yeah, we have to get exams and all.
Yeah.
I'm
like, I already finished studying college and now to give studies for this also.
I don't drop out of college. Like screw nice. That. Like,
nice.
I do. It's a haze for me.
So there's always be like at your house, you're the runt, so to say.
Yeah, I was the depressed runt, basically. Like, suicidal depressed runt.
Yeah.
Then
hey, so are we. Hey,
this whole podcast has been collection of all the runts, like rescue animals in human forms.
Welcome to our weekly meeting.
Runts Anonymous.
So what happened is, I used to sketch a lot, like, as a kid, and I figured out I really love comic books and Dragon Ball Z pencil boxes. Before Dragon Ball Z was introduced or was on Toonami. So I used to collect those boxes.
Yeah.
And being in Assam, we used to get a lot of counterfeits of Dragon Ball Z stuff. So I used to collect them.
Like Drogon Bill Zoo or something like that.
Yeah, all different iterations of, like, Goku and Piccolo and all of these guys' colors are changing. I'm like, what's up with these guys? Like, sometimes they have black hair, sometimes they have golden hair. I was very intrigued by it. And for me, art or comic book was defined by, like, maybe DC or like Raj Comics. Remember Raj Comics with Nagraj and all?
Nagraj,
Doga. Batman of India.
Yeah, Doga is a classic.
So, I for me, introduction to anime opened up a whole new world of a different style, a visual language.
Yeah.
So I used to copy that a lot and I used to sell them to my other friends. So that's how I got more money for chips and snacks and more comic books.
Hmm.
So I used to just keep buying more comic books. I used to go to the secondhand store where they sell hand-me-downs and I used to collect those. And a lot of adult comic books were also there and I was left unsupervised. So I got exposed to a lot of sexual and violent stuff.
Comic books.
Comic books,
adult
mainly.
Graphic stuff.
Adult graphic stuff.
Nice.
And
that's always a good way to start.
Yeah. So that's when I started drawing more
dicks. now I see the inspiration. Tap the source. Unsupervised in Assam.
This podcast is actually a introspective journey.
Journey
you know,
into your life.
Investigation. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's, and then what happened? I started drawing stuff for my friends and all. And as I grew older,
like on Farmaish, some penis. Yeah. With the artistic.
Best friend, you get the most hardest one.
yeah.
So then fast forward to my teenage days, I'm really in a lot of heavy metal music. Mm. And back in Guwahati, there's like tons of bands, good scene happening. All my friends were musicians and I always tried to fit in. Mm. Like I always wanted to be part of the band, like, and I want to go in like, oh, I'm with the band, basically. Yeah, that flexing that stuff. So
I'm a groupie.
Fortunately, there were no all girl bands back then. Oh, otherwise, I would happily
what's
be.
What's stopping you?
Then what happened is I started sketching and drawing. So word got out that I used to draw and all. So I started working with musicians, all my friends basically, and I'd do it for like $200-$300 or a few beers or free entry.
And everybody wants like, how do we make our logo look like Slayer?
Yeah,
reference sabka same.
In my situation is mostly like more hardcore bands like Decapitated or like Cannibal Corpse. They were very graphic in nature and I used to copy those a lot. So I started making album artworks for the local bands and all, and I started working with them, and then I just fitted well with the whole music industry. And then I enjoy the whole vibe. I enjoy everything about this whole...
So now, given that there are more than one musicians, like the groups are more than one, would you imbibe your own style into the designs, or would you match it to their personalities more to make it more standout-ish?
Okay, that's a whole brief standpoint, like how they'll... And see, they were broke as fuck. So they're like, so I never like... that question never never came in the conversation. Mm. So I started... But I made sure that their music is represented well visually.
Yeah.
Because that's what I wanted to deliver, and that's like client servicing.
Yeah.
Right there. So...
Every level there is...
all your life, man.
Yeah, but has it become like that, become a thing now? Because now you're definitely working with bigger names and
Definitely there is. But the thing is, because of the fact that I have a unique visual style, I have my own history and my own years in the industry and practicing my art form, they mostly give me the freedom. So just incorporate the music, that's it, the lyrics, and I execute it in my own way. I have that freedom because I've worked enough to stand out.
How many people talk about like how important art is to music also, like the visual representation of what you know, right? Yeah. Because like if you look at any of the 90s CDs, like the most distinct thing about that CD was that booklet you got.
Which was
designed specifically for that album, for that CD.
Like, you know, Linkin Park's Meteora got delayed because they couldn't finish the liner notes in time.
Linkin Park, I love Linkin Park. Such I grew up listening to it.
Yeah.
Yes, it was perfect.
Dude, Mike Shinoda is like the perfect mix, dude. Like, he can rap, he plays piano, and he does visual stuff. He's an art school grad.
Yeah, so it's quite amazing. Yeah. Linkin Park, I think, is one of my biggest influences growing up. So I'm all about Linkin Park and all these other metal bands and all. And so I started working like that. And then what happened, I got associated with Red Bull. So
you won that championship.
I was the Red Bull World Doodle Art Champion in 2014. So what happened is that opened up a lot of gateways for me.
Yeah.
So when I started
gave
you wings, the bat wings.
Yeah. Then, just want to make everything dark. I was like, it gives you wings like a nice angel. You're like, bat wings.
Yeah, exactly.
Fart.
I'm all dressed in black. What do you think?
Bat wings are like, they're such cute creatures. Like, you know, like I always look at my black cat and bat faces. They look very cute. Then there's that fucking like thar face.
But then some bats are very ugly also.
Yeah.
Like bats are normal.
Like Robert Pattinson.
I really hated that Batman with
I really liked the new
one. I liked the movie, but the Batman choice could have been better.
Yeah, exactly.
Even the Catwoman I didn't like, to be honest.
Who was the Catwoman?
Zoe Kravitz.
No idea.
Really?
She's Lenny Kravitz's daughter.
Good for her, man.
Why
should I remember her?
She's Jason Momoa's
exactly.
Jason Momoa's stepdaughter.
Okay.
because
terrible acting.
Lenny Bruce's wife,
Lenny Kravitz's
former wife, yeah, is now married to Jason Momoa.
Okay.
So that way she's good.
And they're all friends. They're all friends. Yeah. They hang out.
I'm pretty
together.
Sure these Hollywood people have like their own orgies going on.
Yeah.
Like,
of course.
He brings his Aquaman suit out. Like, who wants to be my fish?
Yeah.
You know. Sorry.
Yeah. Good.
Good. Good dolphin riding.
Good.
Yeah, good for them. Batman. So Red Bull happened.
What happened? I had this experience of working with musicians and all. So I always pushed for that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, okay, I want to work with this guy. I want to make your album artwork. I want to do this. So Red Bull helped me out in that thing when they were like, Divine and Raftar were doing their Red Bull tour bus back then. And Red Bull, like, they always come to me for like special art projects and giftings and stuff like that. So like, why don't you do something for them?
Nice.
So I made like 2 illustrations for them, and that's how I met them. And slowly the word got out. Like, then I moved to Delhi. My first move was to Delhi. And then I started working with more local bands.
So all of this was happening from Guwahati.
Yeah,
operating.
All of this was happening
in
Guwahati.
Oh wow, that's crazy.
So
nice.
I think,
and like so much, like just to think, because we know like a lot of visual artist friends in Bombay,
yeah,
like struggling. Okay, they're making like thumbnails for people, like making some like, and I'm saying like how grateful some people should be in the right time. Like as you said, like the right time happened, right thing happened to you, because like some people in Bombay are struggling for years, but you did that from Guwahati and then you made your move. That's a smart
way. I mean, I always thought of myself and my art to be a brand. So I made sure that the, like, whatever projects that I do, it's marketed well.
Yeah.
Because you have to think like that. Like, I am an industry right now because I hire more people under me. I have my assistant, I have my other graphic designers, I have a bunch of people to shoot stuff.
Yeah.
So you have to think like that. You can't be like an artist sitting there, okay, I'll paint and people will come and appreciate it.
Yeah.
You have to go out and scream it out loud. Like, I do that.
We were talking about him.
Yeah.
Marketing kya nahi barabar se laude nahi mar gaya sala. Depression sala.
So this got out. Then I started hanging out with them. I like to hang out with people. I like to listen to the music. I go out. I am always out there. So that's how I got to meet most of the other people. And it's a genuine, it's not like work, give and take. It's a genuine, like, culture building, community building process that goes in. Mm. Like, I'm part of this. Like, how will I make it better?
Yeah. Your work is very cohesive.
Yeah.
That's what I like
about
it.
You're part of the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because, like, you know, if you look at, like, the art design of, like, the graffiti even back in the day when the Harlem culture happened, right?
Yeah.
There was a entire skater culture, or, like, there's a ball culture, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
The art is what, like, is still reminiscent about that era in time.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if there's nobody to capture it, we talk about the visual capturing of, like, either on film or on video or camera or whatever, but, like, that standout element of it is the fact that somebody took the time out to make that distinct look for that era, which will never come back.
Exactly.
And you'll always know how it harkens back, you know.
It's very important how you actually mold that whole era, because each artist has the potential to start a movement. Like, we all talk about different art movements, but it all started with one person doing what they do, and they create a whole new niche around it. So I feel like that's the whole standpoint where I'm coming from. I want to be part of a movement or start a movement, and then be a distinct style in this whole field, and then people can immediately recognize an illustration or a painting. Oh, it's done by Shantanu. So that's the whole idea behind building this whole identity. Like, me being a visual artist, if I can't build my own identity, then what kind of visual artist am I?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was happening. And then I was always inspired by the lifestyle also at the same time. I'm like, if you look at the West, like visual artists like even Takeshi Murakami or Kaws or all of these artists, they are celebrated at a very grander scale, as same as any other actor or a musician.
Yeah.
So why can't we do the same thing with the artists in India?
Yeah.
Correct.
So I wanted to do that. I wanted to be celebrated the same way, because we put in the equal amount of work, effort, research, and it's painstaking. The amount of projects that get cancelled, the amount of work that has to be...
You have to make like a deck for this idiot. It's
a hard struggle. So people should appreciate it. That's how you'll build a community. That's how you'll have more artists coming up, doing unique stuff. Getting inspired of not just the art, but also the lifestyle.
Yeah.
So I think that's the whole idea, and that's how I got into this. And I'm like, no, I want to work with rappers. I want to work with sneaker brands. I want to do things differently. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to paint a canvas, put it out there, or make printouts and sell it in like events and stuff. No, I want to capitalize on this. Mm-hmm. So that was the whole focus. That was the whole mindset, and I just got into it really headstrong.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome, great. Awesome. And you're inspiring like a whole next generation of artists to do the same thing.
I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, that's the biggest achievement as an artist, is to the ability to inspire other people. Like back home, whenever my folks asked me when I was doing engineering, like, you want to be an artist? Like, what's the whole point? Like, you will be broke, or people here consider artists to be next to homeless.
Yeah.
Right. So,
to be fair, the artists who have come before us have not set a good precedent in general,
but they've never exactly,
like, the opportunities were different also, and but like now it's time to prove them wrong.
But across the board, right? Like actors, writers, Bollywood, all of it, it's like always this story of, you know, what's the word for it, like you consume and you go crazy on the power and the drugs and the alcohol, and you lose everything. And it's always like this story, the same fucking story, and they assume that's what's gonna happen to you.
So I never had an answer, because there was no one for my community to actually be there to actually pave the way, and I couldn't answer back. Like, I couldn't say, okay, this guy did it, so I can do it. I the simple answer I didn't have. So I thought I should be that answer for anyone else from my place, maybe in a small town, in a village where they're doing this, they're making art. And whenever their folks or their community ask them the same question, they can say, this guy did it. Shantanu Azarkar went out and did something.
Absolutely.
So I want that to happen. And that it goes a long way. It goes a really long way.
Democratize art also. It's not held up in the fancy parts of Bombay, Delhi, or Bangalore. Yeah. It's all over the country, and you just have to have avenues.
If you look at Annie Hazarika, who's also you might know her.
Yeah, she's a friend of mine.
So Annie worked with me for a really long time on stuff. Came out. You know how I hired Annie? Annie was on a Zoom show.
Okay.
With her boyfriend, they had come to watch, and she was doodling in the middle of the show. And then she tagged me in the doodle, and I was like, holy fuck, what great art. And then we worked together for almost 2 years.
Nice. She's a friend of mine. I know her.
But hey, man, that's beautiful, dude, because that's all we're all trying to do, right? Is like just set like an example. Recently, I was on, we had gone to my farm, and we had some great realizations about life. Like, one of the things I thought of was just that, like the whole point of us is that we are like 29, 35 tak is your prime, right, in life. And then you're just going to get weaker every day, right? Like, your mind might evolve, but like your physical form will go away. And then your whole job is to nourish the next generation, right? Because the next generation is just going to feed off of your work, feed off of your efforts, feed off of your example, or just maybe like literally like do things to facilitate new art. That's like the role that you have to take at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why we exist. We are just the fertilizer for the next generation of minds.
Oh, nice.
I mean, when we literally die and they bury us, then we little fertilizer.
They'll bury you.
Yeah.
That'll be a really
they won't bury me.
That'll be a really good album. Yeah.
I want to be burnt though. So like not like dead burnt. I want to be alive burnt.
What?
Have you seen American Horror Story, which is covered?
Yeah. Why would you want to be burnt alive?
So I can scream Balenciaga when I die. I'll be like, Balenciaga. Alright, on that note, we should end this episode of Vartalab. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. Thank you so much, Shantanu.
Follow us on the things. Okay, follow us. Otherwise,
follow them. Please follow
shout.
Them.
And him also. Look at him. He's famous.
Me. No, I'm not.
Not yet, he isn't. But once you follow him.
but he knows everybody who's famous.
Yeah.
So that's what. And thank you so much again for joining
in. Thank you so much.
I hope
guys.
You had a good experience on this podcast.
Yes, loved it.
We got to know very little about you, but that's what's important.
But I think
the mystery
an idea of what motivates.
That's what she said, but then it works.
Oh, should we end it with that's what she said?
Exactly.
Let me do it on something more shameless. Please come watch me live. I'm on tour right now all over the country. Tickets are on Book My Show. Okay, Vartalab.